spoke to him about the passage for today. You'll forgive me. There have been so many things on my mind. We've been dealing with some issues this week. It's really been a very, very challenging week for us. And even being here this morning, we thank God for the strength to get us through some of the things we've been dealing with. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 7. I didn't want to stop you from reading, brother. You're doing such a good job. Yeah, we're going to be in Acts chapter 7 this morning. Before we even begin to read, let's look to the Lord. Where's my clicker? You said my clicker was up here. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this opportunity to come, Lord, and be, Lord, amongst your people. Father, to get into your word. And we ask now, Lord, that you would settle our hearts and our minds, especially that of your servant. Lord, that we might be used this morning to edify your people, build them up in their most holy faith, and that we would leave here, Lord, today better equipped to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 7. Let's read these verses, and then we'll try to unwrap some of this. This obviously is after the Stephen has been accused of some things. In verse 1 of chapter 7, then the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country, from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in the foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. Then he gave them the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now famine and great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan. And our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to the Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So when Jacob went down to Egypt and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. In verse 17, but when the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Oh, my goodness. I taught a class for about four or five years in the book of Acts at New Life Bible Institute in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And so this is a passage of which I am very familiar. But do you ever notice sometimes when you're reading God's word that it will speak to you kind of based on where you are at a particular time? I've taught in the classroom from this passage, but what I want to share with you today, and you see the title I've given this, is Stay the Course. It never hit me this way until I was going through something, and it's what I was going through. Wondering whether or not I should continue doing the thing that at one time I was convinced this is what God wants me to do. This is the path God wants me to walk. This is the course that God wants me to take. And as I read this scripture, I began to see in it some things that will oftentimes challenge us, that will oftentimes cause us to not stay the course. Staying the course, it's a phrase I've heard used in a lot of different contexts. I've heard it used in business. I've heard it used in the world of finance. One of the things I see in my mind is a ship that has a particular destination. And when we talk about staying the course, the implication is that, first of all, you've got somewhere place that you're supposed to be going. But then there are things that happen on the way there that will cause you to change the course, some obstacle or something in the way between you and what it is that you're trying to get to. And so oftentimes we'll stray from the course that we have set before us, pursuing a goal regardless of any obstacles or circumstances. That's staying the course. To keep going until your determined destination is reached. That's staying the course. Holding on and persevering until you get there. That's staying the course. And so, my encouragement this morning, and I believe there's got to be somebody out there besides me that is being challenged in this thing that God has in front of you and wanting sometimes to say, you know what, maybe I'm just not ready to commit and to go and to do all this necessary in order to stay the course. So here we have Stephen. Is being accused of some things. He's being accused of blasphemy. He's of the law. He's being accused of blasphemy against Moses. He's being accused of blasphemy against God. And they've taken. It kind of reminds me of what I'm seeing in these days in our political arena as I'm listening to the political pundits and the politicians. It's amazing how somebody you'll say something. And by the time folks get finished with saying things about what you've said, they've taken it out of context. And by the time it gets back to you, you realize that is not what I was talking about at all. That's not what I was saying. And what Stephen was saying here is that it wasn't blasphemy against the law. Stephen was saying, listen, Jesus is better than the law. It wasn't blasphemy against the temple. Stephen was saying Jesus is greater than the temple. It wasn't blasphemy against God. Jesus was saying, Stephen was saying that this same Jesus I'm talking about is equal with God the Father. And so Stephen has been accused of some things, and now he gets up. And in chapter 7, we have the longest sermon in the entire book of Acts, and Stephen begins to lay it down. Before these same folks, that Jesus stood before, these same folks, this body called the Sanhedrin, and Stephen begins to lay it down. And basically, it's a recounting of what God had been doing in the life of His people. And so, what basically Stephen is saying to me, and I trust that you'll get something from this morning, he's saying, "Listen, we're going someplace. This is how we got to where we are, and we are not about to change course." This morning, my encouragement to you is to stay the course. Let's look at verse 2. And he said, brethren and fathers. Listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, verse 3, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Stay the course, even when you're not sure where you're going to wind up. Stay the course. Here's this man that is the head of a family. He has responsibilities. He has a wife that he is responsible to. He has children that he is responsible to. He has other family that he is responsible to. Just like every other father and head of household in this place today, he had responsibilities. And if you'll notice something, and this kind of jumped out at me, it says that God appeared to him and said to him. It doesn't say that his wife heard these instructions. It doesn't say that his uncle or his nephew or anybody else heard these instructions. It says that God spoke to him. Now, brothers, put yourself, I mean, let's be real. Put yourself in that situation. Jeremy's not here, so I got to use my other brother from my other mother. Brother Roy, God comes to you and gives you specific instructions. Hadn't said anything to your wife or to your children. So you walk down into the living room as they're sitting there watching TV and said, all right, everybody, let's start packing because we're leaving this place. Well, Dad, where are we going? I don't know, but I'll tell you when we get there. Stay the course. Even when you don't know where you're going to wind up. I said before, staying the course assumes that we are moving. There were some things that God said. The first thing God said was, he said, get out. And in order for Abraham to be obedient to God saying, get out, he had to be sure and believe that God wasn't joking when he said to him, you get up and get out, and I'm going to show you the place I want you to go to. There are often times in our lives we don't know where we're going to wind up. But if you know that you've heard the voice of God in your life, and you know, I don't know what, when it says that God appeared to Abraham and said some things to him, does God speak to you? I mean, have you ever had an experience where you believe God spoke to you and God gave you specific instructions about something to do or somewhere to go or something to pray about or someone to minister to? Have we not all had that experience where we believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is speaking to us? I don't know how you ascertain the voice of God for you in your life. I don't know. I don't think any of us would say that we just heard an audible voice. But however you do it, you have to ascertain how you hear the voice of God saying some things to you. And when God says some things to you, if God says, get up and go, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to bless your ministry, or I'm going to bless your marriage, or I'm going to bless your business, or I'm going to bless your ministry, but I need for you to get up and go, and you're not really sure where you're going to wind up, and there are going to be some things that are going to happen to you during the course of that journey that are going to challenge you and tempt you to go in a different direction. But my encouragement to you this morning is to stay the course even when you don't know where you're going to wind up. I am absolutely sure that when God spoke to Elijah and said to him,
go show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain. I am sure that Elijah never expected that he would wind up in a face-off with 450 prophets of Baal on a mountain. I am sure that when God said to Joseph, I'm going to raise you up to be a great and mighty man, that he didn't expect that he would wind up either in a pit or in a jail. Once you've ascertained God's voice and direction in your life, and you know, the Bible says that God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spoken to the people by the prophets, have in these last days spoken to us through his word. We believe that God primarily speaks to us through his word. And I found that when I'm in the word of God, when I am committing myself to studying the word of God and reading the word of God, those are the times when I get this confidence on the inside that lets me know I'm doing what God has called me to do. And when I'm not sure about it, I begin to quote what God's word says. And God's word says that my sheep hear my voice. And so, Lord, I say, Lord, I thank you that I am a sheep in your pasture, Lord, and you promised that the sheep are going to hear your voice. And so even as I set out on this journey, Lord, I know there are going to be some things that are going to tempt me to go into a different direction. But you've got to stay the course even when you don't know where you're going to wind up. Staying the course assumes that we're moving and that God has given us some place to go and that we believe that God is going to get us to the place that he's sending us to. Now, we all know that Abraham did what I call partial obedience. There were some things that God said to do and not to do, and Abraham did not completely obey exactly to the letter what God wanted him to do. But he did have enough faith to believe that God had called him to a land that God didn't even specify. How do you do that? How do you step out in that kind of faith? What is it that gives us the ability to believe in a God that we've never seen and can't prove it, that he exists and give our lives to him and take our directions from this voice that we hear on the inside? What is it that allows us to do that? I believe that for me, anyway, and this may sound, I'll try to be the connection, it's joy. Joy is the complete and utter confidence that comes from the Holy Spirit when we know that we are doing what God called us to do, when he called us to do it. Man, that's a joy and a peace that sometimes folks, when they look at what you're going through, they don't understand. But when I am absolutely certain that I am following God's course for my life, even when things come against me, I can continue to move in that direction and not stray off course because of that deep confidence that I have inside. Stay the course even when you don't know where you're going to wind up. Here's the next thing I want you to see. Look at verse 4. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. Verse 5. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for an inheritance and to his descendants after him. Here's the next thing. Stay the course even when you don't see the advantage. I'm not so sure that when God spoke to Abraham that Abraham knew or believed that he himself would personally set foot in this land that God was promising. Oh, folks, there are going to be times when God calls you to do something and you're going to wonder, yeah, but what is in it for me? What's the upside for me to go? What's the upside for me to give? What's the upside for me to follow this course? I'm not sure that Abraham expected to ever personally occupy the land. There are things that God is doing in your life right now that is to benefit others, that you yourself may never see any advantage in it, and sometimes never even see it come to fruition. Oh, there are saints of God that have gone on to glory, that poured into my life and never got to see what God has done and what God is continuing to do for his own glory, not because of me, but because of what God desires to accomplish through me. And you've got to stay the course, even when you don't see any personal advantage in it for you. There are things that God is doing right now in this assembly. There is a course that God has for each of us as individuals, but as we come together as a local body of believers, there is a course that God has for you. And my exhortation to you today is discern the voice of God and stay the course even when it doesn't seem like there is any particular advantage in it for you as an individual. Peter once said to Jesus, "Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What's in it for us? If there's nothing in it for me, why should I do it? If it's not meeting my needs, if it's not increasing me, why should I bother? Who in the world would bother to go through the aggravation that comes sometimes with ministry and ministering to the people? Who, what kind of a person would do it, and why would they do it?" I asked that question of God, and he sent me to Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." And the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 said all of these people died in faith, never receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them. Oh, my goodness. If you are willing today to stay the course When circumstances come against you, you're willing to stay the course even when there doesn't seem to be any present advantage in it for you, and there may be something down the line, but it's not doing anything for you right now. If you will determine to stay the course, I want to let you know this morning, man, you're in some good company. You're in good company. Stay the course even when there doesn't seem to be any advantage in it. Look at verse 9. "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt But God was with him. Here's the next one. Stay the course even when it looks like things have completely gone south. Oh, my goodness. God gives Joseph a dream. And Joseph goes to his brothers and he says, hey, listen, man, check out this dream that I had. We were all out in the field and we were gathering bundles of wheat, and all of a sudden, my bundle stood up straight and your bundles came around and bowed down to mine. Oh, but wait a minute, that's not all. Listen, I had another dream. And in this dream, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. We all know the things that happened to Joseph after he shared these dreams with his brothers. Joseph was in a pit before he was in the palace. He was in prison before he received the promises. See, if Joseph had looked at his circumstances as an indication as to whether or not he was on the course that God had for him, he'd have gone a different direction. He would not have stayed the course. But you got to stay the course even when it looks like things have totally gone south. I always say the circumstances are never the proper barometer to use when assessing the course of God for your life. You know what a barometer? A barometer measures atmospheric pressure. And if you're looking at a barometer, change in pressure can mean a change in the weather. But watch this. You can write this down. Changing pressures in our lives don't change the plan of God for our lives. Let me say that again. Changing pressures in our lives does not change the course of God for our lives. You've got to stay the course even when it seems like everything has fallen apart. When the circumstances you find yourself in are totally contradictory to what it is that you believe God has said. That is why you have to stand on the promises of God and on the word of God, because regardless of any circumstances, regardless of any information brought to me by my five physical senses, which contradicts the word of God, I'm going to stay the course, even though it looks like everything has gone south. Stay the course. Look at verse 11. Now, a famine and a great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. Here's the next one. Stay the course even when resources are running low. There's a seven-year period here where no grain is growing either in Egypt or the surrounding area. 7 years! Imagine that. 7 years, no growth. Well, that's enough to make anybody change course. Stay the course, even when resources are running low. The absence of what we believe and perceive as growth, the lack of it has caused many a person to stray off the course. It's taken marriages off course. It's taken the work of God off course. One of the things that helps us get through that is understanding that God has promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that supply often comes one day at a time. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and one of the aspects of that prayer was, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, there are things in our lives and things in our ministries and things in our assemblies where we need to be able to to trust God to get us through this day. God said, listen, I'm gonna send you something to eat. Every morning, manna is gonna fall on the dew. And what I want you to do is I want you to just gather up enough to last you for a day. Because if you gather up more than that, it's gonna go rotten, it's gonna get worms, and it's gonna stink. God was teaching them the same thing that he is teaching us, is that we've got to stay the course even when resources seem to be running low. God wants us to trust him one day at a time. In the same way that he did it for them every day, when they got up, there was a dew and there was manna. There may be something that God has asked you to do in your life, and circumstances now make it difficult to do that because there's something that you feel that you don't have, or you're wondering whether or not God is going to supply. You've got to stay the course, even when it seems like resources are running low. You've got to pray and keep praying one day at a time. You've got to trust and keep trusting one day at a time. You've got to believe and keep believing one day at a time. You've got to follow and you've got to keep following one day at a time. You've got to worship and you've got to keep worshiping one day at a time. You've got to praise him and you've got to keep praising him one day at a time, even though it seems like resources are running low and you don't know how you're going to be able to do this thing that you're doing tomorrow, and how are we going to continue to be able to do this? Maybe we need to change course, but my exhortation to you today is when you've discerned the voice of God and the course of God, stay the course even when it seems like resources are running low. Let's look at verse 12. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Look at verse 14. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and his relatives with him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt and he died, he and our fathers. Here's the next thing. Stay the course. Even when you don't perceive any progress. Oh my goodness. At this point of the narrative, it has been 200 years waiting for this promise of God. What? 200 years and all we got is 75 people? Maybe we need to change course. Abraham is dead. Isaac is dead. Jacob is dead. And all we have is 75 people, and we've been promised that our folks were going to be as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. It just seems like we are not making any progress whatsoever. But when you have ascertained the voice of God, and all of us can apply this in our own personal lives, the way that God is leading us to, and the leadership here, you can apply this to the assembly the way that you feel God would have you to. But the reality is there's sometimes we will be tempted to change course because we just don't see what we consider to be any progress. But you've got to stay the course even when you don't perceive any progress. Why would we do that? The answer is in verse 17, and I'm closing with this. But when the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Need to stay the course, because when God guides, he's going to provide. We're supposed to see progress. in our lives. We're supposed to see progress in our ministry. We're supposed to see progress in our assemblies. But do not let the perceived lack of progress take you off course. Make you stray from the plan that God has for you. And so the Bible says there that when the time of promise drew near, anybody waiting for something, waiting to see something manifest that you believe has been a promise of God for you or for your marriage or for your children or for your ministry or whatever it may be, and you are not seeing that progress, my encouragement to you today is hang in there. Stay the course. Don't let the circumstances of life and the things that you see in front of you make you question whether or not God is faithful and whether or not God was serious when he told you to do something and he said what he was going to do. Stay the course. Let's pray. Lord, I think if we're all honest and as we right now just kind of meditate on what some of what your word has to say to us today through this passage, all of us have either been tempted to or at some time or another, Lord, just kind of given up on something, even though when we started out, we really felt this is what you had for us. But some circumstance, whether it's not seeing the progress, whether it's the resources running low, whether it's not seeing what the advantage may be for us right now, whatever it may be, Lord, all of us have been there or may get there. And so we just pray that at those times you'll just encourage us, Lord, even your spirit to just bring back to us, Lord, something that was said today. See, that's one of the things we're just so thankful about your word is that it's just not just for right now, but we know, Lord, that as you give us these insights into your word and as you speak to us about what is being said about your word, we know that there's going to be some time down the road that either the enemy's going to try us about it or that there's going to be some circumstance where we're going to be able to put it into practice or there's going to be some place where you test us to see if we really believe what your word is saying. And so we thank you for the encouragement today, Lord, that we've received, that there's going to come a time when we're doing what you called us to do, going where you called us to go, even though we don't know exactly where it's going to wind up, and something's going to happen that's going to want to keep us from staying on course. We're going to be reminded about this today, and it's going to make a difference in our lives because we're going to put our faith in you. And, Lord, your word says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things that are seen but the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are seen, the not seen, are eternal. So I pray this morning that you've used this word, Lord, to challenge and to bless your people. You do that, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. And we thank you for it. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, amen.